Red Business with Jonathan Healy.
Hi there, and thanks very much for joining us. Coming up, we're going to learn about something called Jigsy. I will tell you all about that in a little bit, but we're also going to talk a little bit later about recruitment. But this coming Friday, the 28th of June, Photo Wildlife Park is officially opening its new Education, Conservation and Research Centre, the ECRC, which was co-funded by the government via the Office of Public Works. It is the single largest development in the 41-year history of Photo Wildlife Park. It costs €5.5 million and features three classrooms, a lecture theatre, a boardroom, changing facilities for people with additional needs, a cafe, an open-air plaza. To be fair, it's all things to all people. And to tell us more about it, I'm joined by the Head of Education at Photo Wildlife Park, Linda McSweeney. Linda, how are you keeping?
Absolutely. Doing fine, thank you. And lots of excitement here, obviously.
I'd imagine there is, because, I mean, it is the biggest thing. I mean, you've had rhinos, you've had lions, you've had all sorts of things land over the years. Not a single animal in this particular part of the park, but it's very important.
Well, it certainly is not a single living animal, perhaps, but lots of biofacts that we've preserved over the years, lots of interesting specimens, including one of our Asiatic lions, the first lion that we actually had here in Photo Wildlife Park by the name of Shanto. So there are lots of animals to see, but maybe not the ones that people necessarily come to look at. We very much use them here on site as the biofacts are very, very important educational tools in all of the modules that we offer.
So in other words, they were once very proud members of Photo Wildlife Park, but obviously they reached their natural end and are now used for education. And education is very much what this is about. Everyone went on a school tour to Photo over the years, Linda. I'm presuming you did as well. And this is to improve that experience, isn't it?
It is. It is certainly. And I think probably people, while we're very much associated with school tours, I think many people may not recognise the number of students that pass through us here on an annual basis through our formal education programmes. This year, we're on target to teach well in excess of 20,000 students. They predominantly tend to be obviously primary level, particularly at this time of the year for the school tour that you just mentioned, that all of us have had the pleasure of availing of over the years. But we also have a secondary school programme, and we also have a series of third level modules as well. So it's a very, very busy outdoor education centre, let it be said, one whose history goes back to 1995. And thankfully, one whose numbers are actually increasing on an annual basis.
For older people like myself, will remember what Photo looked like years ago. Where this new centre has been built is kind of the old entrance, isn't it?
It actually is. It has, I suppose, some sort of historical connection to what the Wildlife Park looked like when it first opened to the public in June of 1983. It very much is the old entrance. I suppose over the years, in 1997, we received a governmental grant to allow us to add a one classroom that allowed us to, I suppose, progress our education offerings here on site. That one classroom served hundreds of thousands of students between 1997 right up until till this year, until the new ECRC actually opened its gates to the public. So we have seen massive progression, obviously, over the last few decades, let it be said, and hopefully it's onwards and upwards from here on in.
So what exactly does it look like? I mean, we can describe what a classroom is. We know what a classroom is in a lecture theatre, but this is an interactive experience, isn't it? It's about all the best of the wildlife park that's kind of there in an educational setting.
It is. It very much is. I suppose to give the listeners a sense of what the building is actually like, I suppose when Sean is the director of Photo Wildlife Park, when we began to conceptualise this back in the midst of COVID, back in late 2021, we looked at various locations, various zoological collections around the world, got some ideas, some really good ones from zoos in the US in particular. So what we very much wanted it to be is that as soon as students step off the bus, that learning begins at arrival. So the building itself tells the story of sustainability and conservation, very much even down to, I suppose, the manner in which we've landscaped the exterior surrounding the building itself. We focused on the planting of native Irish plant species, floral species, many of whom are considered to be threatened or in danger of the wild. We have bat-friendly lights on the exterior of the building. We have robinia as external cladding. It's a beautiful, beautiful timber whose appearance changes drastically depending on whether the weather is dry or whether it's wet. And let's face it, it has been wet incessantly over the last few months. And that provides a series of microhabitats to not only invertebrates, but also to a series of, I suppose, nesting opportunities for various bird species here as well. But internally, I suppose the building itself is flooded with light. I think it's a beautiful design. I think both the architects and the company who saw this through to fruition really have done themselves proud in terms of bringing what was a concept back in 2022 to what it is now. It's exactly the same as we imagined it would be, let it be said. So we have a significantly large atrium area. It serves the purpose for not only hosting educational groups, but it's also being used at the moment by corporates for dining facilities, for example, or lunch facilities, catering as such. We also have an amazing boardroom. We've invested extensively in relation to the audiovisual equipment that are there. So certainly makes people's life a lot easier to connect over Zoom or whoever they need to actually have be in contact with in relation to their meetings. Then they have the opportunity to actually Zoom them in. We have three additional classrooms. Each one has a capacity of about 75 students. And then, of course, I suppose the main point of attraction here, and it's probably my favourite classroom to teach out of, and I've come a long way from my humble beginnings when I came here in 1995, is we have a 260-seater tiered lecture theatre. Again, surrounded by beautiful landscaping, bright open windows, letting through a huge amount of natural light. So honestly, Jonathan, it's very much a dream from our perspective.
Yeah, you could fit a full giraffe in there if you needed to. How good a lecture the giraffe would give, but it's there nonetheless.
Sure, it'd be enticing.
It's terrible to draw a crowd. The one thing about it is summer is a very busy time for photo, because summer equals babies, and I'm presuming there's loads of babies down there at the moment, from little ducks right up to bigger animals.
Yes, there are. There are quite a few babies that have been born here over the last few months. I suppose we have our ringtail lemurs. We have five of those out and about, wreaking havoc, let it be said, at the moment. Probably a little bit overly confident when it comes to meeting with members of the public. I think they've broken the staff's hearts probably over the last few days in terms of their ability to move very fast and conceal themselves very, very quickly. So they are a huge attraction here. Lots of different goslings and ducklings, for example, lots of other additional primates. We have a number of colobus monkeys that have given birth in recent months as well. So they're the first acrobats that you'll see as you actually enter through the main gates of the wildlife park. So there's lots going on here, and hopefully lots more to come over the coming weeks as well.
Well, Cogarthus on the new ECRC. I'm looking forward to seeing it now. I haven't actually, for the first time in a long time, I haven't actually gone to photo this year. It's the latest it's ever been. I'm going to have to sort that out this weekend. Linda McSweeney, Head of Education at Photo Wildlife Park. Photowildlife.ie is the website if you want to book your tickets and head on down. Linda, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Jonathan.
Now, Cork-based company Jigsy has been going from strength to strength. They've plans to expand further in the next couple of months. Jigsy is a jigsaw which reveals a message. And once the Jigsy is completed, an inspired thought is revealed. It's sold in four categories: love, creativity, encouragement and happiness. And new messages and a word game are in the offering. It sounds intriguing, to say the least. The creator of Jigsy is Niamh O'Sullivan, who's with us now. How you doing, Niamh?
Hi, Jonathan. How are you?
I'm very well. It's lovely to talk to you. Where did this come from?
I suppose I'm a mum myself, Jonathan, of four girls. And it was a case of a battle of the phones, trying to hold off on screens and phones for my eldest daughter. And I was trying to look for something that I suppose was different, was unique, a bit challenging, but also something that had a kind of a positive message, like I suppose a well-being puzzle. And there was lots of things on the market, but not really what I was looking for. And so I suppose I went looking and I decided, no, I have something in my mind that I would like for my daughter to be able to do, because she was slightly older. So it's that kind of awkward age, you know, where you're kind of, will I give them a phone, will I not? Mm. So I said, I'll try and do something myself. So I actually had this idea and I thought to myself, well, wouldn't it be great if she could do a puzzle with a positive message at the end of it, something that would be tactile, would be a bit of downtime, would be kind of relaxing to do. And so I got my twistables out and cardboard and literally twistables, robbed my girls and started kind of doing the very first prototype, I suppose. And my first focus group were with my own children, and they were like, yeah, this is kind of fun. I suppose it just went from there. It kind of grew then.
Yeah.
It's
just such a simple idea, but effective. Jigsaws, that kind of gone out with the art. Because, I mean, the idea of getting a Victorian lady with an umbrella and making a child sit, I mean, that's a form of torture nowadays. Whereas this is something that's very much in keeping. And I'm going to go out on a limb here and say it's very much in keeping for a younger female audience, is it?
Well, it do you know what you think? It's amazing. This journey has really opened my eyes. I've learned an awful lot. I suppose from the earliest time when I was doing focus groups and trying to go with the idea. Well, my local enterprise office, for starters, they were absolutely amazing. Like when I went in from having no business background at all, you know, they were like, yeah, you're onto something. And they really encouraged me and they kind of mentored me through what to do next because I really didn't know. And I suppose I went out and to schools. I'm a teacher myself. And, you know, there was different primary schools and secondary schools. And, you know, actually, boys, girls, adults, teenagers were still doing it because I suppose the hook was they wanted to see what the message said.
Yeah.
And that was the thing.
Does the message appear in the jigsaw, if I could put it that way? Because you don't know what you're going to see until you complete it.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
And what kind of messages are we getting out of that? I mean, not wishing to give the game away here, but what do we get to?
Well, I suppose say for the Jixi one on creativity, there's a message there about, I suppose, your imagination and how special it is. I'm not going to say the exact one.
No.
But it's linked to the category. So then the love one would have just, it's like a one line message, you know, and it's just something. And I suppose with the feedback I got from, I suppose, kids and adults that did it, especially children, is that they felt good after they saw it, that it made them feel good and they felt happy. And for me, really, I know it sounds very corny, but that's really what it's about. That's what I started out to do, you know, to really try and bring a bit of joy and a bit of positivity, I suppose, because there's just so much going on in the world, and sometimes just to be able to sit down and have something at the end of it that has a positive message, like, it's totally underrated in one sense. And I underrated it actually when I started it, but it's amazing how, you know, kids were like, oh, that made me feel great, or that's nice.
Yeah,
you know?
I just know, so the little phrase, that's nice, isn't, I mean, we've lost that with phones and Instagram and YouTube shorts, the worst thing that has ever been introduced to humanity, YouTube shorts. Can I talk to you about the game? I mean, I'm always fascinated by an old word game of some kind. Is that currently wrecking your head as you're trying to put that together?
Well, do you know what? It's like anything. Like, I suppose it's from what I see around me. And I suppose then I kind of go, oh, that could be interesting. But I suppose trying to put positive words together, positive sentences together. But the word game, I'm hoping, will have a bit of fun in it. Do you know what I mean? That it won't be just like, oh, just make a sentence, or, you know, that we'll have, again, a positive kind of affirmation, almost a positive spin on it. I'm nearly finished with it, but I suppose the feedback from kids and teachers actually has been that it would be great for literacy, for engaging, you know, the child, I suppose, and how to even construct sentences.
Yeah.
Something as, you know, simple as that, or to identify a word.
You're doing the clever thing. You're teaching them without realizing they're being taught. And that has a lot to be said for it. I mean, they're lovely, they're colourful, they're available to buy. I think is the website is the best place. Jigsees, that's jigsees.com, and you'll be able to buy them there. It's really a wonderful thing, and thank you so much for inventing it, and B, for sharing it with us. Niamh O'Sullivan, founder of Jixi.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you so much.
Now to the world of recruitment. Baker Finn Recruitment is a life sciences firm established in Cork in 2018. To add to their Middleton office, they recently opened a second base at WorkLab in Waterford. So it is rapidly expanding, and I'm delighted to be joined by the company's director and managing director. Not only are they managing director and director, they are also a wife and husband, Barry Delaney and Grace McDwyer. You're very welcome to the podcast. How are you?
Hi, Jonathan. Thanks so much for having us on.
Hi, Jonathan. Lovely to speak to you.
Lovely to speak to you both. Grace, what prompted you to set up this recruitment business? I mean, it could have been any old recruitment business, but you've specialised in a very specific area.
So, look, we would have started out our recruitment career, I suppose, covering a multitude of different disciplines from IT and engineering. And, you know, we just really saw the opportunity within the life science field. It's you know, growing year on year. There's just, you know, such a hub of pharmaceutical and biopharma medical device companies in Cork, you know, down in Ringaskiddy and Little Island. And, you know, like you said, we've moved down to Waterford for the same reasons. It's just been so busy, Jonathan, thankfully, and a growing sector that, you know, has just been, I suppose, an easy decision for us. It's just gone from strength to strength every year.
I mean, have you been watching that growth, Barry, in terms of the new jobs coming in, but more importantly, the challenges to recruit, because it's a very competitive market right now?
Yeah, Jonathan, we have, and I suppose, listen, the IDA have done an amazing job in terms of, I suppose, attracting that foreign direct investment. You know, weekly we see announcements of new jobs and companies set up, which is so incredibly positive. You know, it is challenging too. It's very competitive. You know, the housing piece and the accommodation part is challenging in terms of whether you're relocating into Ireland for a role or even internally in Ireland. It does add a challenge to it. That said, there is lots of opportunities. Clients and the candidates are getting more discerning about what they want to do, what projects they want to be involved in. So it's just really exciting to be, I suppose, part of those projects and the candidate journey.
Grace, one of the interesting things, of course, is how the market has changed. In life sciences, there are some jobs you physically have to be on site, and there are other jobs where you can work from home. And I suppose your business model as well, being based in Middleton and now expanding into Waterford, you know, the way it's done has changed so dramatically in the last couple of years.
Going back about 10 years ago, if you had a company that did a 4-day week, you know, it was rare, and, you know, it would have attracted a lot of interest. Whereas I suppose that was one of the positives that came out of COVID. You know, the whole working from home and the remote element, you know, we all got set up to do that because, you know, things had to continue, and that has stayed. So you are seeing companies now with that setup and that model where it might be 3 days on site, 2 days remote. There's flexibility there. So that has opened up. I suppose it's allowed people to sit maybe in Dublin and work for a company that might be in Cork and go on site 2 days a week, that kind of thing. So it's opened up different, I suppose, the geographical options for people as well. Saying that, it is going back. We're seeing a change. A lot more companies are bringing people back on site, moving more towards the 5-day week again. So we are seeing a change back again. So, but look, there's definitely an element of a flexibility there that wasn't there before, which is fantastic.
Mm. And I suppose the other side of it is the rapidly expanding nature of it. We have a lovely cluster down here, Barry, in terms of life sciences. We've got the biggest companies operating in the business. We have some companies that have spun out of those businesses and have taken on some manufacturing roles, and it's not stopping.
Absolutely. Listen, like I said, or you'd said yourself from the top, like, the industry is definitely, it's buoyant. There's lots happening. You know, the evolution of how these companies are working and the drugs that they're developing. Equally, you know, you look at the likes of Galway, it's an amazing medical device hub as well. You know, there's some fantastic companies all spotted around Leinster as well, and obviously the South East. So, listen, there's lots happening. It's a real evolving industry with a lot of exciting pieces coming to it. But we're just really delighted to be involved in it. And I suppose, you know, we are always have the patient in mind too, ultimately, as much as we're recruiting in life sciences for medical device or pharma. The ultimate goal really is for the patient, whether it's a drug or a medical device. That piece is central to kind of, I suppose, our mission, our purpose. So that is always something we I suppose, have the center of what we do as well.
Having looked at this over many years, Grace, it started out as pure manufacturing, and then it moved into manufacturing and R&D, and then it moved into biopharma, and now it's under the umbrella of life sciences. It's vital that we keep evolving to meet the need of the companies that are already here, isn't it?
Absolutely. And look, we've been very lucky that, you know, I suppose companies now are identifying us as maybe the more specialist agency that they come to. So we're getting a lot of opportunities, you know, breaking out from the typical disciplines that were there, like supply chain, manufacturing, engineering. We're seeing a lot more now in the automation side of things, robotics. You know, so AI is playing a big part in that as well. So we have to evolve with that as well. There's no point us staying static as well. So we have to evolve. So that's been really exciting for us as well, because we have candidates that you know, we've been working with over the last 10 years, and we've seen their careers really become more diversified as well as we change. Technology has really, really driven that on as well.
Well, it is a one-stop shop if you want to go and have a chat with them. BakerFin.com is the website. Grace McDwyer and Barry Delaney, thank you very much for joining us, and the best of luck in the future.
Thanks so much,
Jonathan. Lovely to speak to you.
And that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. Mary O'Neill was the producer. Don't forget Red Business in Focus, with thanks to Cork's local enterprise offices. Up on our website right now, our video series, and there's some fantastic businesses featured there if you want to go and have a look. We will catch you on the next one.
Get the Red Business podcast every week with Jonathan Healy at redfm.ie and wherever you get your podcasts.